Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is the first day of June. It is Wednesday. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Good afternoon, Al. Wendy Wilson, you're not laughing, Al.
No, as soon as you do that to me, I'm thinking, it's not April 1st. Yeah.
It's June 1st, but there's just something about those first days of the month.
Uh-huh. And the second, the third, and the fifth. Something about all of them, Melody.
And we have Wendy Wilson joining us. It's Wednesday, so she'll be joining us shortly after the market report, following the market report. So, and again, we had pressure on gold today, although it did kick back a little bit. 1213, still down $2 today. Silver's down 0.01, still above 16 at 1604. Platinum was down 7 at 975. Palladium at $550. Actually, gold was up higher when the markets opened, but once that European market closes, that's when, you know, gold had a little bit of a reversal. We did hit a low of 1205, so but it did bounce back. A lot of changes, a lot of commodity sectors, and China got hit overnight, and so forth. And you know, you can blame all these reasons, you know, why there's pressures on the markets. Probably a little bit of everything. In addition to, you know, we've had 11 days of pressure on gold. Gold popped back yesterday, and you know, all eyes until the rates, until she makes this decision, and until we see what happens, and to see if Britain is going to, you know, pull out of the EU and so forth. You know, these markets can go either way. So long-term fundamentals is what you stay on. Long-term investing, we know, fiat currency, dollar's going to go lower, gold's going to go higher, silver's going to go higher, and that's how you play. USDX today had some pressure on it. Down 0.45 at 95.40. Crude oil was up 0.09 at 49.19. Paper markets today barely moved, basically unchanged. You know, the Dow 17,789. NASDAQ 4,952. And the S&P 2,099. In that race today, I guess the NASDAQ won. It was up a whole 4 points. So 10-year yield, 0.01 to the upside. 1.85%. Euro climbed a little bit, pretty much the same as what the euro did, what the dollar did to the downside. Japan took a little bit of a beating, 1.62% down, pretty much unchanged in overnight trade. Markets were down, but nothing significant. And it just surprises me, all the amount of news. I mean, you start reading the news, and it's just incredible what's going on out there. And yet, Al, it just doesn't matter. But what does matter today, at this moment, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Hello, Al. How's everybody?
Good.
Just great.
How you doing?
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I thought, I thought we'd talk about some of the new requirements if you are going to check into the hospital. Hopefully you won't ever have to, but some new information coming from nurses warning the population about what's coming, because more people are, I think, becoming more aware of something may be amiss with, you know, what's all up with vaccine treatments. And I think that movie Vaxxed, from cover up to catastrophe, may have had an impact. And so there's this report surfacing now on more adverse reactions for patients of all ages that encounter after they get inoculated with, you know, various vaccines out there. Now, according to Health Impact News, nurses are warning people that if they are admitted to the hospital, the new documents include giving blanket permission for doctors or nurses to treat them with what is called biologic or biogenic therapies. Now, the documents don't actually list the type of biological treatment or the names of any medicines. So the biologics are kind of a broad category of treatment and can entail some very experimental and even dangerous or harmful substances. For instance, biological weapons fall into this category. However, a few people would ever want to think that, you know, hospital doctors or nurses would administer them anything harmful. Well, they would if they thought it was a beneficial treatment. And I would like to remind people that once upon a time in legal physician healthcare, bloodletting was thought to be beneficial. So I thought we'd take a look at what's going up here in healthcare and how we could possibly, you know, sidestep a problem. So when you get to the hospital, Al or Melody, and you get admitted, you get the admission documents for the patient, or if you have a legal representative, they have to sign these documents. And you're told to give them permission to do the biological treatments, which include vaccines. So patients are verbally asked by the admission staff, are you up to date on your vaccines, including your influenza shots? If you say no, they enter an immediate order into the computer system to generate an order for this treatment. Patients are told the vaccines are not optional but mandatory. Now, why are you going to the hospital? It doesn't really matter. If you're there just for a study, to give birth, have treatment, trauma treatment, it doesn't matter. They're going to schedule a vaccine for you. So once you've been given the hospital the consent to treat you for the biologics, hospital's not obligated to inform you. No informed consent. You have given them a waiver, and it has removed the medical hospital's responsibility for informed consent on those treatments. So you really need to be careful when you get to the hospital, and I'm going to show you some things I would do if I were you. Let me read you this quote from Michelle Broughton. She's an RN. She says this: since the Affordable Care Act, nurses are required to ask every patient upon admission if they've had their flu vaccine and their pneumonia vaccine. If the patient says no, an order is entered into the computer for staff to give the vaccinations. A physician signature on the order is waived due to hospital policy through the health department and the Affordable Care Act. So no doctor has to sign off on this treatment. What do you think of that?
I think it's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really cause for concern. But one of the things that's interesting about it, on the one hand, they say this is mandatory, not optional, and yet you need to consent. They need your consent to proceed.
I know. You've picked up on that, Al. I know. It's total BS that it's mandatory. Obviously, you don't have to, and we're going to tell you how to sidestep this whole thing in just a minute, because some of the nurses suggest this as well. But what was really frightening to me was what Routon said, what's going on in the maternity wards. She says, another disturbing trend is that hospitals are following the CDC's vaccine schedules and vaccinating premature babies in the neonatal intensive care unit. She reports that vaccines are causing life-threatening adverse reactions for the infants. And what's extremely disturbing is she says that medical professionals know the treatment's harmful, but it's become an inside joke to the staff. I don't like
that
at all.
Just astonishing.
It is.
Just astonishing.
I know. So what, you know, some of the medical professionals, though, they see this as a problem, and they're at telling patients when they're admitted to the hospital, they're trying to give them a clue. Now, in Pennsylvania, a group of medical professionals have created what is a health chapter. It's called Talk About Curing Autism, and they meet every month, and they share information. And what these nurses do in this group is they have this phone app called Periscope, and it keeps them up to date on where forced flu vaccines are being used in hospitals across the United States. So this is a very dedicated chapter of active health professionals. They're developing solutions to make people more aware that they are the target of those in the pro-vaccine agenda movement. So, but hang on to your seat there, Al. Melanie, I got more astonishment for you. Now, the nurses are pushing back against the biological treatments in hospitals and advising the public they need to read their admission documents very carefully. If you do not want to be vaccinated, you need to write on this document, no vaccines, make it perfectly clear to not only admission but to the medical staff. I would go a step further, and I would write through the sentences that give them blanket permission to give you biological treatments. I would write a line through it and write strike and initial it and say no vaccines of any kind, no experimental treatments of any kind. I would just, you know, I would write my own little document there. and they say that's fine. Now, biological treatments are normally very complex mixtures, which are not easily identified. So biochemical engineer Dr. Brian Hooker, and he's a Redding University, California gastrointestinal surgeon, along with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, they filed some documents of scientific fraud regarding the CDC cover-up on the research proving the thimerosal mercury in your vaccines cause neurological damage and autism. Apparently, there seems to be some evidence that suggests the CDC knew this and had internal documents that the vaccines are detrimental to the human brain, but they proceeded with approving vaccines anyway. So Dr. Hooker with Dr. Wakefield and two congressmen sent documents to the CDC, and they got back an internal memo in which it was a confirmed document from their epidemiologist, Dr. Thomas Verstraten, who said that his report showed 400,000 infants between 1991 and 1997 proved mercury-caused autistic conditions, and it was titled a report in 1999. He confirmed that thimerosal containing mercury in the vaccines does have a neurological impairment effect, a high exposure, especially to young children. So, but you might like this, Al. The director and chair of the CDC National Institute of Health, this was Dr. Marie McCormick. She was professing in front of Congress. This is in the Congressional Record of May 1st, 2003. She says, we are not ever going to come down that autism is a true side effect. And she's no longer with the CDC director, but she is president of Merck's vaccine division, in which the CDC purchases $4 billion in vaccines from them every year.
Well, Gene, what are the odds? I mean, I wonder if there are any dots there that could be connected.
Now scientist Dr. Paul King, he said he came through with some factual documentation on just the influenza vaccine. Just this vaccine alone, he says, contains 51,000 parts per billion worth of mercury, which is 21,000 times the EPA's limit for mercury in your drinking water. He says, typically you find 2 parts per billion of mercury in your drinking water, 250 parts per billion in tuna, or 550 parts per billion in contaminated fish. And he says, this is a thimerosal-derived ethyl mercury. It's an inorganic mercury, very detrimental to the mitochondrial cells of the human brain. It's a toxin to those brain cells. And he says, what happens is it does the damage in the brain, and then it travels to the digestive tract, causes damage there, and then also wrecks the immune system. So it kind of makes the rounds, if you will. So now Dr. Thomas Vertrustin, the MD virologist for the CDC, now he proved that in 2000 that there was a very high risk of autism and also sleep disorders and speech disorders associated with the thimerosal in the vaccines for young children. Toddlers are waking up repeatedly in the night as if they were newborns and having difficulty learning to speak understandable words. And doctors are telling patients it's completely normal. Children obtain normal sleep patterns and speech at different ages, and not to be alarmed if your child is still exhibiting these behaviors past the age of 5. What do you think?
What about when they get to be 15 or 25 or 50?
Right.
Do these effects ever go away, or are they permanent?
Well, there's the magic question.
Some has some yes and some no.
Yeah, I think it just depends on the person. It depends on how many vaccines the kids had. I mean, they're putting more and more adjuvants, as we know, in the vaccines that supposedly make them work better. But we've already established adjuvants is dirty pathogens. So they put more, you know, bacteria into the child. So I think the vaccines that you and I got totally different for what's being given today, to be honest. And
I mean,
I can tell you,
you and I got it back in the old days. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, when I was in school, six total vaccines got you into elementary school, and that was it. Now it's like over 50. So I can attest. I have 2 grandchildren. I have one that's about to turn 3, and I have another one that's 1.5. These kids cannot sleep through the night. They get up as if, you know, they need, you know, to be fed, but they're not hungry. And they have trouble with speech. They make up a name for you because they can't articulate your name. So, you know, I just see this whole thing progressing into a lot of brain damaged kids. But if you
do
get
something out of Nazi Germany.
Yeah, and if you do get a vaccine, what we've done at Apothecary Herbs is immediately, as soon as possible, you can reverse the effects of this vaccine. We have 2 products that we use, one external, one internal, to draw out the vaccine and to neutralize it in the blood system. So but you got to use it as soon as you can, okay? So, yes, you do have some tools at your disposal. You can, you can just really disrupt the damaging effects of this. The sooner the better, though.
Where can folks get more information from you?
Okay, well, they can give us a call toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is our website, and the pandemic kit is what they want if they want to protect kids from the vaccines or themselves.
It's one of the astonishing things. You go to a hospital and you might be going in an emergency condition, and yet you essentially have to bring a lawyer along with you to read the documents to see what the legal effects are before you sign or don't sign. And just astonishing, amazing. Somebody needs to be sued, stopped, tried for treason. Something's got to be done.
Yeah, I mean,
really?
If you're unconscious and nobody knows if you're up to date on your vaccines, what are they going to do? Just give them to you anyway?
I understand that. And what's the average person going to do when they're in a state of emergency? They say, yes, yes, yes. They're just going to go along with whatever the program is. They just want to get saved. I mean, they're extraordinarily vulnerable, and the government and the doctors are taking advantage of that vulnerability. Wendy, thank you very much. That's very informative, a frightening presentation. Look forward to talking to you again next Wednesday.
Take care now.
Good week. Yep, that's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Give her a call. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom, and we'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
We're still continuing with the great special for the silver. We have 20 Morgan silver dollars. They're all dated prior to 1921. A lot of them will be before the 1900. We have a tube of those, which consists of 20. Those are the Morgan silver dollars. We have $28 face value, which gives you 20 ounces of silver of 90% silver, another great value to have in your portfolio, and 20 of the modern issue, 1 ounce American Silver Eagles. It includes all your shipping costs, $1,259. Make sure you give us a call and visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter, and, of course, the radio programs are archived on a daily and monthly basis. And just a report on the U.S. Mint, on the production of the U.S. American Eagles and Gold Eagles. It shows that 95 ounces of gold were sold in May. Yes, it's down from last month, but it's up more than 206% from a year ago. A huge increase from a year ago, May, for the month of May. And again, a little disappointing from month to month, but that's a huge increase from a year ago in May. And we usually see May as, the starting of a slow season for the market. But 2016 pretty much has bucked that trend. And since this was the strongest May since 2011, silver demand was just as strong. Annually and month over month, the data showed that the U.S. Mint sold 4.4 million ounces of silver in May. That's up 122%. That was sold in 2015 for the month of May. Excuse me. And an incredible, and it's even up from the amount of silver that was sold in April of 10.5%. So it's a pretty nice moves in both gold and silver. This is the fifth consecutive month that the mint has seen sales of more than 4 million ounces. And
yet, the price has declined.
There's pressure.
Yeah, but when we say there's pressure, do we mean there's pressure from the free market, or is there pressure from the rigged, manipulated markets?
There's pressure from everywhere.
Well, there's pressure from the rigged market. In fact, I got an article from Miles Franklin, written by David Sheckman. He just says, as long as J.P. Morgan and the gold cartel are free to naked short gold and silver, and what they mean by that is they can go into the market and say, I will sell you some gold or silver. How much you want to buy? I'll sell it to you. I don't have any, but I'm going to sell it to you on a future delivery. And they don't have a requirement that they actually have gold to sell. They just say, oh, I'll sell it to you, and here's the price we're giving. They are free to naked short gold and silver with paper contracts on the COMEX market. Gold and silver will not be allowed to gain much upward momentum. The game will continue as long as the entities that are long are willing to roll over their contracts and do not stand for delivery of physical silver or physical gold, and instead accept a premium in dollars. This all comes to a sudden end when the longs demand delivery in real physical metal, and we believe that day is coming. The J.P. Morgan, he believes that, in fact, he says, I imagine that J.P. Morgan agrees, as they have been accumulating vast quantities of gold and especially silver. It looks like a brilliant strategy to short gold and silver on the COMEX, on the paper market. They're shorting it and driving the price down. At the same time, they are buying physical metals at the lower prices that they themselves are creating. They have an increased demand for metals at the same, for physical metal, at the same time that they're driving the price of paper gold downward on the COMEX market, and they are therefore able to buy physical metal at reduced prices. The result is that J.P. Morgan and the gold cartel win both ways. They win by pushing the price of gold down. They win by buying more gold and silver. He goes on and says, for most of us, the logical thing to do is do what J.P. Morgan is doing. Go long physicals. In other words, buy physical metals, which sooner or later will be set free and will reward the holders of actual gold and silver. All right, I agree with him 100%. And this is one of those things, the first segment of this program, I'm talking to Wendy Wilson, and the incredible report she gave on the vaccines and the hospitals attempting to fool people into believing they must have these vaccines. This is parallel. The system is rigged. Nobody's doing what's right for the American people. No one in government is doing what's right for the American people. We're being forced to take vaccines that we don't need or want, that may be even dangerous to us. We are operating a market system right now where people in positions of power can suppress the price of physical gold so they can buy the physical gold at a cheaper price. If the price goes down, it should be evidence that you don't want it, I don't want it. But it's being artificially pushed down so people who want it can get it cheap. And the lesson is obvious. It's undeniable. This criminal conspiracy can't continue forever. And sooner or later, it's going to end. And part of the evidence that it's going to end is the fact that J.P. Morgan, for example, is buying huge quantities of physical gold and physical silver. They wouldn't be buying that if they thought they were going to continue the racket of suppressing the price and suppressing the price. They buy silver at $20, and then they push it down to $16, and they keep on buying silver. It only makes sense if they know the price of physical silver is going up dramatically. Same thing applies to gold. The fact that they're suppressing the price and buying the product means that they know that this is going to end in the foreseeable future and the price of physical metals is going to increase dramatically.
Well, we all know who J.P. Morgan works with, so, you know, so, yeah, I mean, it's no shock. This is, you know, we know this. They've been doing it, and there comes a time when they can no longer do it. And when you look at the news that's floating around. I mean, you know, Bezos, Amazon, everything is Amazon, Amazon. This guy is, and very smart, very talented, and not to take that away. I was reading an article today, you know, he almost has as much billions as Warren Buffett has. It took 20 years for his company to make a profit. You know, he makes his money off of the shares that people are, you know, gobbing up because they think it's a great stock to own. I can't remember what his earnings ratio was. It was like 550. I mean, like, are you kidding me? I mean, it's just this whole world. You read about China. You read about their shadow banking, the loans on the internet. The world is insane. I mean, the things that are going on.
What
there's
drives
no
it?
Logic. There's no. I know you're going to the fiat money, but the system is being used.
Well, it's
used
not just that, but I'm saying
for greed,
they are providing an almost unlimited source of money to be loaned.
Hey,
that's
as long
what pushes
as people,
a lot of this. As long as you can keep rolling over your debt by borrowing more, the system will get crazier and crazier. But if and when the day comes when people have to actually pay their debts, and not just roll them over, and when I see people, I don't necessarily mean ordinary people. They are paying their debts, or at least trying to. I mean institutions, major corporations, elements of the government that are so deeply in debt that if they ever actually have to pay their debt, pay it, not just roll it over or conceal it with inflation or diminish it with inflation or whatever, but pay their debts. The day ever comes, the whole system blows up.
And what's amazing is it only takes one little hiccup. You don't need to have some war started somewhere. You don't need to have, you know, some catastrophic event. That's just adds to it. It just needs a little hiccup. Like a bird flying into an engine of an airplane and brings down that huge jet. This little tiny little bird can do that. I mean, it just takes a little thing that will offset this. And it's just not here in the States.
No.
And this thing is huge. It's global. But that, to me, what I believe, it was all part of the agenda. And these guys, there's nothing wrong with working hard, making money, being successful. I get all that. But they have used the people. They have used to strip the people. If you think your pension funds are safe, well, if you think that you're going to be able to retire comfortably, if you think they're going to allow you to walk away with those monies that you have saved in your retirement accounts and your pension accounts, look back the past, 20, 30 years and see you have all these little bubbles. And each time more is taken away and people do not walk away with what they had. It is a big reduction and we've got $20 trillion in debt. And I'll tell you what, there's 20 trillion, and that's not all accounting the unfunded liabilities and so forth. And there's $20 trillion sitting there in retirement accounts and pension funds. I was reading about pension funds today, Al. You know, they're going for greater risks because they're so underfunded. They need 6, 7% returns annually or more. But yet they're getting 0.6 returns. So they're readjusting. They're grabbing on more and more risks. We all know what happens when you grab onto more and greater, higher risks. It never ends well.
Sooner or later, the risk, as it increases, the risk is going to, it's going to happen. Whatever you're risking, keep gambling sooner or later, like playing Russian roulette. There's one bullet in six chambers. Keep pulling the trigger, and eventually you're going to have a very bad hair day. Let's take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please.
Al, we're early.
A mistake. I'm looking at the clock at 7, and it's supposed to be 8. See, I didn't know about the big hand and the little hand, Melody.
I suppose we could take a break, but it would sure mess up all the stations.
No, I was just looking at the clock wrong.
But this is not going to go away. And you might feel safe and comfortable now. You might think with the election, and you might think if Donald Trump gets there that he's going to fix things. Yes, some things might be fixed, but our...
Some things might begin
but
to be
our
fixed.
Debt...
But none of it's going to be
financial,
fixed painlessly.
Our monetary policies, I don't see that being fixed to where it can benefit us.
Got an article here from Michael Snyder, the former attorney, prolific author. The headline is 8 Lessons That We Can Learn from the Epic Economic Meltdown in Venezuela. And he says, we're watching an entire nation collapse right in front of our eyes. As you read this article, there are severe shortages of just about anything you can imagine in Venezuela. That includes food, toilet paper, medicine, electricity, and even Coca-Cola. At times, full-blown riots have broken out. And all this is happening even though Venezuela has not been hit by a war, a major natural disaster, a terror attack, an EMP burst, or any other type of significant black swan event. When debt spirals out of control, currency manipulation goes too far, and government interference reaches ridiculous extremes, this is what can happen to an economy. And what Snyder is talking about here, he's making a powerful point, and it parallels what Melody's just been talking about with the problems that we're facing. And we're... Too much debt, too much credit. We keep pumping this artificial currency up and inflating all these little balloons and bubbles, and inevitably they're going to fail. The point is that Venezuela is collapsing under the weight of its own socialist government. Venezuela's calamity was not brought on by war or natural disaster. Whether they knew it or not, the Venezuelan people voted for this calamity when they voted to embrace communism. Venezuela's left-wing government has caused and is causing Venezuela's economic and political collapse. And the same thing is true in this country. The collapse is not yet obvious in the sense that you can't get away from it down in Venezuela. We see clues that it's coming. We see the leaves in the breeze. We have an idea that we think we know what's going to happen here. But the government has been laying the foundation for what may be a coming collapse. They've been doing it for decades. And when it finally happens, the government will have somebody else to blame. Oh, they'll blame China, they'll blame Russia, they'll blame the oil producers, we'll blame somebody. But the truth is, this economy has been grossly mismanaged and perhaps even betrayed in the sense of treason by our own government. And we're coming to a moment where you and I are going to be called to pay. And to some degree, it will be unjust to hold ordinary people accountable for what the government has done. On another level, it's perfectly just. We are responsible for our government. And if we're dumb enough to elect and re-elect a bunch of grinning psychopathic idiots who are bent on feathering their own nest rather than doing what's right for the American people, insofar as we cooperate with that and we vote for them, well, we're responsible. And we're going to pay a price on that. Every one of us, none of us, is going to get out of this without some serious pain and loss. Let's take a break. It is now time for some commercials. So Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, are you finished talking about Michael Snyder?
No, not necessarily.
Venezuela?
We could go on. He actually has eight lessons that we can learn from the epic economic meltdown in Venezuela. And those lessons are, one, food shortages, or shortages of basic supplies, can happen very rapidly. All right? If you have not stored up food ahead of time, your diet could quickly become very simple during a major emergency. That's number two. The point here is stores, shelves can be wiped out very suddenly. If you don't have food stored up in anticipation of this sort of emergency, then you're not going to have food. Then it goes on, number three, when people get hungry, they become desperate. Desperate people will eat just about anything. Venezuelans have already become so desperate that they're actually hunting dogs and cats for food. Now, this is my comment. We can reasonably assume that cannibalism, if it's not taken place already, it'll start if Venezuela doesn't clean up its act. And the same thing could be true here. There's only 3 days' supply of food in the grocery stores. If anything happens to disrupt the food supply chain, you're 9 meals away from going hungry, or the average American may be 9 meals away from going hungry. 3 days' supply, then there's no more. Right? You have to prepare. Here's number four. When an economy collapses, it isn't just about food that's in short supply. Also toiletries, toothpaste, soap, toilet paper, and shampoo, they disappeared in Venezuela. Where they are for sale, they can be for much higher prices on the black market. Number five, medical care is in short supply. If you need a doctor, you may be in big trouble. You need somebody in the family who understands first aid. All right? You need to stock up on whatever medicines you think you might need. You're going to have to learn to be independent. Number six, owning precious metals such as gold and silver becomes much more important. This even applies to entire countries. So far during this crisis, Venezuela has had to ship $2.3 billion worth of gold to Switzerland because bankers won't take their paper currency any longer. Days coming when people won't take your paper currency any longer either, ladies and gentlemen. And if you think that day, it's bound to happen. We can debate when it's going to happen, but it's bound to happen. And those of us who have some gold or silver are going to be in much better shape than those who do not. Item number seven, crime skyrockets. There were 107 major episodes of looting or attempted looting in Venezuela during the first three months of 2016. That translates into more than one episode of looting per day. We're not talking about robbery. We're talking about a crowd for one reason or another, gathers outside a store, gathers outside a shopping center, and decides they're going to help themselves. But crime skyrockets in the midst of economic decline. Similarly, Michael Snyder goes on, he says, similarly, crime continues to rise in major cities all over America. Two, right now, we're having an increase in crime. According to Breitbart, 66 people were shot in Chicago over Memorial Day weekend, and that was an all-time record, all right? In fact, I thought they did more than that on 4th of July weekend 1 or 2 years ago, but Chicago is has setting the pace when it comes to murdering people. Chicago is up there at near the top of the list. So far this year, a grand total of more than 1,500 people have been shot in Chicago. That's 300 per month, 10 per day. Didn't say killed, said shot. And police are bracing what promises to be a very chaotic summer. When the economy declines, crime increases. It's just logical. It isn't surprising. There's nothing magical about it. A lot of people are unemployed. They want to have something to eat. All right, or drink, or smoke, or whatever. Put new tires on the car. They need more money. They can't get a job, and they decide to take a gun, a club, an axe, a knife, whatever, go out on the street and find somebody and rob them. It's no surprise that crime is increasing when things become difficult. The last lesson in the economic revival is perhaps the one lesson that's cause for a certain amount of optimism. It's a religious revival. Churches in the capital city, Caracas, recently organized a prayer walk. Thousands came to the main streets of the city crying out to God to ease their misery. And Michael Snyder concludes, he said, will a similar shaking be necessary to bring America to her knees and get America to cry out to God? And the answer is, yeah, probably will be. We aren't going to do what's right in this country until the whole thing blows up in our faces and we are so badly hurt and wounded that some of us at least turn back to the good Lord. But it isn't going to come for the majority of people. It's not going to come except in the midst of calamity. You know, it's a little bit, there are no atheists in foxholes. When things are really, really difficult, right, people start turning back to the good Lord. And what Michael Snyder is essentially saying is it's beginning to happen in Venezuela. It's not an immediate solution to their problem. But their problem, as I said at the beginning of the discussion, is brought on by their government. This isn't for lack of resources. This isn't for because of a war. This isn't some sort of a medical emergency. This is the government. They had a powerful, big, left-wing government that advocated communism and socialism, and it dragged them into disaster. I got an article here from Zero Hedge. And his headline is Alan Greenspan, we're running to a state of disaster. He parallels much of, he at least complements what Michael Snyder was saying in the previous article. Zerhead says, Alan Greenspan is back delivering more warnings about the state of the global economy, hammering home the same key points made back in March. Alan Greenspan says we have a global problem of shortage in productivity growth. And it's not only in the United States, but it's pretty much around the world. And it's caused by the fact that population everywhere in the Western world are aging. And we're not committing enough of our resources to fund that. We should be running federal surpluses right now and not deficits. This is something we could have anticipated 25 years ago. And in fact, we did. But nobody's done anything about it. This is the crisis that has come upon us. Well, I don't necessarily agree with Greenspan that when he speaks about aging, he's talking about entitlements. That's his fundamental, his hot button issue. He says if we don't fix the issue, we're headed for disaster. He wants entitlements and America's inability to fund them to be a central issue for the presidential campaign. Entitlements are crowding out savings and hence investment. Capital investment is the critical issue in productivity growth. Productivity means making the pie larger. And then we can all get an adequate slice of the pie. If we don't have more productivity and we do have more population, the potential slice of the pie for each of us diminishes. Our standard of living shrinks. Some of us suffer grievously. A few of us get by, you know, and he may even profit, but the majority are damaged by this. And the solution is productivity, not more entitlements, but more efficient working, more productivity. Productivity growth, in turn, is the crucial issue to economic growth. We're running to a state of disaster unless we turn this around. This is what happened to Venezuela. They thought all they had to do was pull the oil out of the ground and sell it, and they could divide the money up among the people, and they could live in a communist paradise. Well, it turns out people actually have to work for a living. And it's not enough just to pull the oil out of the ground and live large. Sooner or later, there's a problem, and if you don't have other industries, if you're not an industrious people, you're going to pay a price. You must be productive. Now, this is part of the reason why, when they began this, and Greenspan said, everywhere in the Western world, populations everywhere in the Western world are aging, and we're not committing enough of our resources to fund that. Now, I don't know that aging, certainly it is a problem. But if Greenspan means to cut the entitlements, like Social Security, for people who've already contributed into Social Security, I don't know that that's necessarily fair. I don't know that people who've contributed into Social Security, they should at least get as much as they contributed plus interest. Maybe they shouldn't get more than they contributed plus interest, but they should at least get that much. If Greenspan is talking about reducing the entitlements for people that are retired after they've contributed into Social Security, he's certainly going to get a lot of resistance on that. But he goes on and he makes a brilliant statement in the final paragraph of this article. Well, two paragraphs. Greenspan also doesn't view recession as the biggest problem right now. He's concerned about the longer-term problem of low economic growth and soaring entitlement growth. I've seen a report that says 70% of the checks government writes go to people based on entitlements and subsidies. All right. Some people think 40-50% of the American people are receiving some sort of a check from government. It can't be sustained. It's not going to be sustained, and I don't know how you're going to break the news to the people who depend on those entitlements for their support. Somebody's going to, the day is coming when they're going to have to go to work rather than just go to the mailbox and get a check. They're going to actually have to go to work, and if they don't, they're going to starve to death. But here comes Greenspan's profound observation. He said, our problem is not recession, which is short term. I think you have a very profound long-term problem of economic growth at a time when, in the Western world, there is a very large migration from being a worker to being a recipient of social benefits. And he's right. That is a, just for me, that is a profound description of what's happening in the world right now. We have millions of people who've effectively decided I don't need to work. I don't need to work. I'm going to draw welfare. Or if I'm poor, I draw welfare. If I'm rich, I draw subsidies. I'm entitled. There's something so special about me. I don't have to support myself, and somebody else can support me. I don't know where they get the money. They can print it or spin it out of thin air. It makes no difference to me. I'm just entitled. And what I will tell people every time the subject comes up is you're not entitled to a nickel that you haven't personally earned. Every time someone talks about, oh, I'm entitled because of my race, because of my gender, because of my age. I'm entitled. No, you're not entitled to anything that you haven't personally earned. And the government has been selling this story to people for decades, and the people have bought it. A lot of people say, I don't need to work. I'm entitled. I don't need to be a worker. I have the, again, Greenspan says there's a very large migration from being a worker to being a recipient of social benefits. Where do those benefits come from? They come from somebody who's working for a living. And what we're doing is robbing the people that are productive in order to support the people who are not productive. How long can that continue? How long can we continue to rob farmers, just as an example, as a metaphor? How long can we continue to rob farmers before there is no food for anyone? We need the farmers way more than we need the cattle rustlers. We need the productive people in this economy way more than we need the welfare recipients and the subsidy recipients. If you're getting money from the government that you're not actually earning on your own, you are a parasite. And we are coming to a time when we will not be able to afford parasites. And you're going to have a very difficult time. You're going to need to learn how to survive in this world without a handout. And a lot of people just aren't going to be able to make that happen. I hear whistling. No, it's just notes from our producer and from Melody. So anyway, again, we are in a world where there's a large migration, not Muslims per se to Europe, not illegal aliens per se into the United States, but a large migration from being a worker, from actually going out and finding meaning in your life by having a job where you actually produce at least as much as you consume and maybe more, in which case you can save. Nobody gets that anymore. Well, I won't say nobody gets that, but increasingly it's an optional position. And as it is, more people are migrating from being a worker to being a recipient of social benefit. In other words, a welfare recipient or a subsidy recipient. And it cannot persist. We talked yesterday about what's a bubble. It's something that's unsustainable. This welfare and these entitlement programs are unsustainable, and they'll end as soon as government can't borrow any more money. We can't afford the entitlement system, and that means there is going to be trouble in this country, big trouble, when we finally cut off or reduce these entitlements. Going to happen, got to happen, no other choice, although it isn't going to happen today. We'll watch and see when it does happen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.